Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you're still there.
Still here.
Yeah. Are you
working
lockdown
hard
yet?
No lockdown. No. Battling on.
It's quite strange, the British government's attitude towards it, possibly. It's been attracting quite a lot of flack, hasn't it?
It's certainly been grabbing some headlines, but we hope they're listening and assume they're listening to the medical advice. And we should primarily say we'll talk over the course of the next few minutes about what it means for markets, what it means for the global economy. As we know, primarily this is a medical crisis that's taking place, and all the resources and all our hope should be with those who are dealing and struggling with this at what is a very difficult time.
Well, I know you weren't a big fan of the Fed cutting interest rates on the 3rd of March, and now they've pressed the panic button and gone from a 1% cuts to a range of 0 and 0.25%. Is that sending out the right message?
It's an aggressive move from the Federal Reserve, inter-rate meeting cuts of 150 basis points in 2 weeks, as you say, taking rates close to zero. Also announcing they would restart quantitative easing, remember that from 2008, $700 billion worth. Also embarking upon a massive liquidity injection. That's part of a coordinated approach by five central banks. Why are they doing this? Cutting rates reduces financing costs, encourage consumers and businesses to borrow, invest, thereby hopefully stimulating growth. Liquidity is probably the most important element to focus on here. Improving the availability of money reduces the risk of the credit crunch playing out, the lessons learned from the, of course, great financial crisis. Cutting rates should also boost confidence, shows the Federal Reserve, other central banks do with whatever it takes to support the economy. Could also lift asset prices, the so-called wealth effect coming through. To answer your question, is it effective? Well, rates are already low. Only a marginal impact can be expected on demand. Takes time to filter, of course, through to the real economy. Coronavirus is primarily a medical disruption. Rate cut certainly doesn't solve that. Say liquidity, perhaps the most important element to focus on. What policy would be effective? Well, it's all about coordination, monetary, fiscal and medical, dare I say it. Maybe the UK has been a good example of that. Global coordination is also required. We know coronavirus is certainly no respecter of borders.
Yeah, but I mean, Donald Trump seems to think it's a great idea, but he's kind of blown up the whole arsenal in one go, hasn't he? Because where does he go from here? There's not much ammunition left in the machine guns.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Federal Reserve did probably a better job than other central banks in building up ammunition in the last couple of years to get them in a position to deal with a crisis. They clearly believe that this is an emergency situation, that they need to throw absolutely everything they've got at this, and this is what we've seen taking place. And perhaps, again, a lesson learned from 2008 is that you go early, you go bigger than the markets and economies are expecting, and that is important in terms of timing, can have helps in terms of the desired effects.
Well, Jerome Powell's move has not impressed the market so far. They're all down across Asia this morning, and US stock futures down by 4%.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be another wild day of selling in markets today. If you look at the opening calls on the European bourses, 7 minutes away, of course, from the open, currently calling the FTSE down 248 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 479 points. CAC 40 in Paris down 264 points. That's down between 5 and 6%. Remember last week, of course, the S&P 500 was down 8.8% despite the rebound that we saw on Friday. It's 20% off its all-time high that we saw back on February the 19th. What a different world it feels like we're operating in compared to just a few weeks ago. Stock 600 is 31% off its February high. Growth forecasts have been tumbling. Growth will be determined, of course, by the lifespan, the intensity and the geographical spread of the virus. We're certainly forecasting a significant reduction in activity in the first half of the year. Certain regions are more vulnerable than others. China, Japan, South Korea, and of course Europe as well. It's been some miserable industrial production numbers coming out of China this morning. We expect the Chinese economy to contract by around about 8% in the first quarter. I think Europe will go into a technical recession in the first half of the year. Global growth forecasts have been tumbling as well. We're now forecasting global growth for this year at 1.8%. To put that in some sort of context, start of the year we're at 3.1%. 20-year average is 4.1%.
Yeah, last week you were playing down the chances of a global recession, and even though you've just mentioned the global growth forecast of 1.8%, a lot of key economies will be going into recession. Germany, the United States, possibly other parts of the Eurozone too, and maybe even China.
I think the US is probably more insulated, more domestically driven economy, but clearly we're starting to see the impact of the virus impacting activity there. Certainly in Los Angeles and specifically in New York, you've started to see it playing out. I mean, there's lots of definitions of what a global recession looks like, but the reality is growth below 2% by many economists' standards would suggest a global recession, and our numbers certainly starting to reflect that.
And surprising to many people, the price of gold has been falling as well. Why?
Yeah, spot gold was down 2.9% on Friday. It's down 8.6% over the course of the trading week. In fact, it's worst week in three decades, along course with other markets. Certainly talking to our colleagues in the investment bank, there's a real flight to liquidity during the course of last week. Saw asset managers liquidating portfolios. That included gold. Also an argument for saying the weaker economic backdrop, the reduction in consumer discretionary purchases will weigh on physical demand for gold in the form of jewellery. Stronger dollar also makes gold less appealing to investors. I think our view continues to be gold is an important diversification tool, likely supported by lower global interest rates that reduces the opportunity cost of holding a zero interest bearing asset. Nervous investors continue to add to ETF positions. Investors have added 5.4 million ounces to gold's ETFs this year. Central bank purchases will be supportive as they continue to diversify away from the US dollar. So I think still a very important component of a portfolio.
So you're saying that cash is king again at the moment, or unless you're going to go and do a few catalytic converters, you know?
Listen, I think certainly valuations have come down quite significantly. It's possible we could start to see a recovery in the second half of the year. The wild movements we've seen in markets pricing in a huge amount of bad news. So that also creates opportunities, I think, for investors. But these are markets for investors that have very high levels of composure and also a long-term time horizon. But if you're underweight in terms of your equity exposure compared to your long-term goals, this would appear to be a good entry point. But as I continue to say, this is very much secondary compared to the health implications for those suffering and businesses that are going through such a difficult time at this stage.
Okay, foreign exchanges, pound's going through the floor, isn't it?
Pound's certainly under a huge amount of pressure. You know that the dollar tends to outperform during times of risk off, and that's what we've been seeing playing out. Pound against dollar coming in at 1.23, euro dollar coming in at 1.115. Going to get 1.105 euro for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Keep your chin up. Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang Potts and Barclays.